Begin transmission.
That is, of course, local time. It's 19:30 UTC, where you are. You're listening to the Dubious Goals Committee right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I am your host and chairman. And what have we got on the agenda for today? Well, it snowed here overnight. Pretty good. I don't know how many inches we got. It was probably a couple, but we had lots and lots of snow. And so a little while ago, I decided to go out and drive around in it because that's always entertainment for me. And I couldn't even get up one of the hills. Ew. It's not cold enough. Well, it's cold enough to snow, but it's not cold enough for the snow to stay hard and crispy, and so it gets soft and it gets gushy, then it starts to get wet and it gets slippery, and now I can't get up the hill. So basically I turned around, drove back down the hill, went up another less steep hill, drove around for a while, came back over the original hill from the other direction that's not as steep, and that was all pretty fun. There were cars stuck everywhere. Every hill I tried to go up, there was two or three cars just sitting there with their hazard lights on, unable to move. And what they don't understand is if they just put the car into reverse, they can go back down the hill and try to go in another direction. So, if you're not familiar with snow, it's what happens when water freezes in the atmosphere and it falls slowly to the earth in a white crystalline form. Whew, looks like I'm not going anywhere for a while. Not because I can't drive in it, just because my streets aren't clear and everybody else trying to drive in it is blocking the roads now. And so we're gonna be waiting. Plus the sun's gonna go down pretty soon, it's gonna get colder, things will start to freeze. That's gonna make it easier in some places, but more difficult in others. So, looks like I'm gonna stick around here for a while. So what am I going to do today instead? Well, I'm going to continue working on my Raspberry Pi Zero. I've got it up and running. I got it hooked up to my TV as a monitor. And that's pretty fun because I get to have this giant, you know, computer monitor now. It entertains me to no end. And right now, the next step is to try to get this thing online. I've got a Wi-Fi dongle for the thing. As you know, or may not know, the Pi Zero does not have an Ethernet connection. No RJ11 jack to plug a Cat5 cable into, so you gotta go Wi-Fi. Now, I don't have Wi-Fi, but some of my neighbors do. So I'm hoping maybe just to get the Wi-Fi working, I can see their networks, and then I'll know everything's fine. But I haven't even gotten that far. I can't even get the thing to recognize that there's a Wi-Fi dongle plugged in. I have no idea what I'm doing. Making it up as I go along, which, you know, often works, but it just takes a lot longer. And now it's time for the awesome report. What have I done that's been awesome in the last 24 hours since you heard from me last? Well, now that I think about it, I don't think I've done anything awesome in the last 24 hours. This has been the Awesome Report. In cat news today, I went upstairs to make more tea and I happened to notice that Pippa, my cat, was sitting on the new bookshelf thingy. I don't know how she got up there. There was no way for her to climb up it. There was nothing around it that she could have used as a step. I'm thinking she must have just jumped up there. And then once she got up there, she just sat there. And I let her sat there. I talked to her for a while. Hey, how'd you get up here? Blah, blah, blah. And then I made tea and I left. Some minutes later, I did hear fa-doom, the sound of her jumping down, and I'm still curious. Once she jumped down, though, she was starting to behave a little bit more normally, and when the guy came to remove the snow from my driveway, she jumped up on her little window perch and watched the guy blow snow around. So, that was good entertainment for kiddies today. The information you need to know at this point is that I did manage to buy another package of cookies. I'm not as pleased as I thought I would be. I ate three of them, and they, I don't want to say they tasted weird, but they sort of tasted weird. They tasted too sweet. It was like the first one hit my stomach, and it was like, ugh, this is not right. This is not for me. I don't know why I thought I wanted to eat this. So, later tonight, when I eat three more cookies, I will take copious notes to see how I feel and whether or not I should continue to be eating these cookies. I don't know what's gotten into me. Okay, you know what that sounds means. It's time for the science corner here on the Dubious Goals Committee. What are we going to do for science today? Well, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things, water. It's a very unusual substance. It's good for a lot of things. You can bathe in it, and you can make tea out of it. I'm sure there's some other things, but those other things will be left as an exercise to the listener. The thing I don't understand about water is, why doesn't it burn? Water should burn. Water should be extraordinarily flammable. In fact, water should be the best rocket fuel ever. Now you might be wondering, what could I possibly be wondering about? Why am I ranting about such an insane thing? Because everybody knows that water can't burn, and that we use water to actually put out fires. Does this make any sense to you? What is water made out of? That's right, if you think back to second grade, you'll remember that you learned that water is H2O. And that means it consists of two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen. And that's great. What else did you learn in science class as a child? Well, you learned that hydrogen is extraordinarily flammable. Oh, the humanity. If there's any doubt in your mind about the flammability of hydrogen, just look up Hindenburg on the internet. Now, when it comes to things burning, you need to have a couple of different things. You need to have a fuel. You need to have something to burn. You need to have some type of source of energy to ignite the fuel. And you need oxygen. That's right. Without oxygen, there is no fire. There is no burning. There is no combustion. So let's go back to water. Water is made out of what? That's right. Hydrogen, which burns, and oxygen, which is exactly what you need to make something burn. So when you mix oxygen and hydrogen together, not only should you get a very, very nice burn, you should get an extraordinarily fast burn. A burn that is so fast that we would call it an explosion. Why doesn't water explode when you throw a match into it? I'll tell you right now that if you go get a hydrogen tank and an oxygen tank and just open them up in your house and let these gases mix, water is not going to form. But when you strike a match, your house is going to blow up. So, why doesn't water burn? We use liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen in rockets. Mix them together, they instantly combust. You instantly have thrust, and you instantly have a rocket shooting skyward. So why doesn't water burn? It's hydrogen and oxygen. Oh, water. Water's so crazy, so mysterious. Why is it the way it is? Why is water more dense when it's frozen? And yet, somehow, it floats in itself. You take ice, you put it in water, and the ice floats. I don't get it. there's something fundamentally wrong about water. Oh, sure, it's fun, and we need it to live. But that doesn't make me any less suspicious of it. And this has been the Science Corner of the Dubious Goals Committee. I hope you learned something about water today you probably didn't. Speaking of water, I have been very fascinated with water boiling. And when I'm watching my tea, or when I'm watching the water for the tea, you gotta understand, I don't use a kettle. They take too long. I use a very big, like a stew pot, and I just put about 1.5 inches of water in it. Oh, excuse me, 4 centimeters of water in it. And then just put it on the stove. And I like to watch it boil because it starts to make a sound before it starts to boil, and then you can see little bubbles starting to form on the bottom. And then eventually these bubbles turn into boiling. And so I'm very interested in nucleation, the formation of bubbles. Why does oxygen decide to all congregate in one place and then make a bubble when you're boiling water? What is it about heat that's making all of these oxygens want to bubble out? Why are we escaping? Where are we going? Oh, it's just so confusing. Water, I don't think I understand it. I understand the ingredients of water fairly well. I mean, hydrogen, that's a real easy thing to wrap your head around. You know, it's got one proton, one electron, and that's it. That's pretty simple. Oxygen, yeah, it's a little more complex. But still, you know, this whole water thing is starting to tick me off. Like hydraulics. Does anybody understand how that works? Basically, the whole concept there is water can't be compressed. You know, why is that? Has anybody explained that to me? Do I need a physicist? Do I need Davek, sometimes known as Dave K, to explain to me why water doesn't burn and why you can't compress it? You can compress air. You can compress a lot of other stuff. Why can't you compress water? Is it the molecular makeup? Why doesn't water want to get closer into itself? I don't know. You know, and while I sit here and shake my head and contemplate the mysteries of water, why don't you go ahead and listen to this?
Big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place. Sing it.
Into your place.
We will
sing it. You gonna be Radio Kitty?
I hate you all so much.
No one cares, Figgis. You're only invited to round out the numbers.
Welcome back to the Dubious Goals Committee. You're listening to Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. I am your host. What are we up to now? Oh, yes. The next thing on the agenda, Tenzin's Restaurant. As you may remember from previous episodes, I have a friend named Tenzin. He is, in fact, Bhutanese. He's an ex-Tibetan Buddhist monk, and he is a chef, living and loving life in America. Well, it came to pass some years ago that after we both quit the restaurant, roughly at the same time, shortly thereafter, he managed to partner up with another local guy, and Tenzin opened up his own restaurant. This was his dream. This is what he'd been working toward. And finally, it happened. So, he and this guy, they opened up a place called Tenzin and Malu's Asian Cafe. And it was downtown, right in the heart of the super mega business district. And, oh boy. So one day, I'm hanging out with my friend Scott. He used to live, just down the street from me in a funny little apartment behind a bar. And during the day when I wasn't doing anything, I'd hang out with him. And one day we were just doing nothing and decided it was time to get something to eat. Boy, I'm hungry. What are you hungry for? Oh, I don't know, just about anything. What do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? Oh, by the way, my friend Tenzin, who I used to work with at the restaurant, he opened up his own place. Do you want to check it out? Oh, sure. What kind of food is it? Well, I don't know. Just generally Asian food, as best as I can tell. The restaurant is called Tenzin and Malu's Asian Cafe. And so Scott seemed amenable. So we jumped in his car, the Colt Zero, and we drove downtown, found a place to park, and went into Tenzin's new restaurant. So, there we are, standing in this tiny restaurant that is a very small half bay at best. There are four tables in the restaurant. They each seat four people, so this restaurant can seat about 16 people. And there's a counter up front, and there's nothing really on the counter. And it's sort of set up like your basic sort of fast food Chinese restaurant, where you walk into a counter, you order. But there's no menu board up on the wall or anything. And so we're not super clear on what to do. So Tenzin comes out from the kitchen and he sees us. He's like, "Oh, hi, how are you? La, 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 la." And he seats us and sits us down, and we're just making small talk. "How are you?" "Yeah, we're great. We decided to come down to your restaurant." "Oh, this is good. Blah, blah, blah." And this goes on for a minute. And then Tenzin says, "Okay, what you want to eat?" And we're sitting there and just kind of thinking, "Oh, I don't know." And Scott says something like, "Oh, well, do you have a menu?" And this is one of the best parts. Tenzin says, "Yes, but they have them." And he points over to another table. There's two other people sitting in the restaurant, and they have the two menus. That's right. This restaurant only has two menus, and the other customers are using them at this time. And so this kind of throws Scott off a little bit. This kind of doesn't surprise me as much. And Scott says, "Oh, okay, well, what's good?" And this is the wrong thing to ask Tenzin, because he just then shouts, "Everything good in my restaurant!" And I just started laughing. And before I even finished laughing, or before Scott could even recompose himself, Tenzin just says, "Okay, I'll make you something." And he just walks off. Tenzin wanders back into the kitchen, and Scott's looking at me, and he says something like, "Wait, what?" And I said, "Yeah, he's just gonna start making us something." And Scott says, "What's he making?" And I said, "I have no idea." And he's kind of like, "Well, okay." I'm like, "It'll be cool." Okay, so we sit there for another minute, and we're just talking, killing time. And eventually, Tenzin comes back out of the kitchen, and he says, "Jada, masala, you come," which is the way he calls me. Because remember, to him, my name is Masala. And so I walk over to him and he's like, "Come with me." And he grabs my arm and he hauls me back into the kitchen. He's like, "Oh, you cook." And he points to the stove and there's some pots going on the stove. And I'm like, "What? What are you doing?" He's like, "Ah, timpu chicken, da 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 da." And he's making timpu chicken. And I'm like, and I happen to know how to make that too, so I just stand there and I'm starting to, you know, flip the pots and pans. He goes back out and talks to the other customers, gets their orders, comes back in, starts working on that. Scott, in the meantime, is now wondering what I'm doing in the kitchen. Well, I'm cooking my own meal. And Scott's, the table that we're at, Scott can kind of see into the kitchen, and I can see him leaning over in his chair, sort of leaning across the table, looking at me. And I look back at him, and he sort of, you know, shrugs his shoulders and holds his hands up, and he's like going, "What the hell?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm cooking, just whatever." Oh, brother. And so, oh, you know, I'm in there for another 10 minutes. I finish off the timpu chicken, and Tenzin was throwing some other stuff together. And we plate it, take it out to the table, and I sit down. And Scott's like, "What in the hell, man?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm cooking our food here in the restaurant today." Scott starts eating, and he's like, "Wow, this is actually pretty good." And I'm like, "Yeah, it is good." He's like, "What is it?" And I said, "Oh, this is timpu chicken." Timpu being the capital of Bhutan. And we were sitting there eating it and enjoying ourselves. And pretty soon, Tenzin comes out of the kitchen again, carrying a pot. and he's got a big spoon in it, and he walks over to our table and he says, "Oh, okay, here, got more for you." And of course, Scott made the mistake of saying, "What is it?" And Tenzin just goes, "It's good, you like," and just plops it onto the plate. He plops some onto my plate. I don't even remember what it was, Rogan Josh or something. It was pretty good. And he walked over to the other customers and he did the same thing. He just plops the food on their plate, whether they want some or not. Oh, greatest restaurant ever. It happened again. Tenzin came out again with some naan or something. And he just walks out, tears it in half, throws it on our plates. "Oh, this is pretty good. I know, everything good in my restaurant." Everything is good in Tenzin's restaurant. That's for true. Eventually, we finally finished our meal. And we were trying to get out of there. We have no idea what it costs. There's no bill. We're trying to get Tenzin, "Okay, we gotta leave, ring this up." And he wasn't quite sure what was going on, but eventually we give him some money. He makes some change, he opens the cash register, does all that, said, "Okay, you guys come back, blah, blah, blah." "All right, yes, we will come back. And you tell everybody about my restaurant." And so I did. Well, you can be damn sure I went around telling everybody about this restaurant. And at the time, I was still working downtown, and I told everybody where I worked all about the place. And I convinced my manager to go up there for lunch one day, and he came back, and he was about a half an hour late. he was dumbfounded. He was like hypnotized when he walked in the door. I'm like, "Yeah, pretty good, huh?" He goes, "That was about the weirdest restaurant experience I've ever had in my life." And he said, "There's no waiters, there's no hostess, there's only one guy, there's no menus." And even when I saw what was on the menu when I finally got one, I didn't understand any of the things that were on it. I had no idea what it was. And I said, "Yeah, but whatever you ordered was pretty good, though." He's like, "Yeah, I don't know what I was eating, but it was good. It was chicken, it was really spicy, and it was in this sauce, and this rice was incredible." And then I couldn't get out of there because the guy kept bringing me more stuff. And I'm like, "I didn't order this." And he said, "You eat it." I'm like, "Yeah, that's Tenzin for you." Tenzin and Malu's Asian Cafe. Probably the greatest restaurant to have ever existed in the history of restaurants. It was a very confusing place. And it was highly unusual. And I think that's why I liked it so much. If you come to town, I would love to have taken you there, but unfortunately, Tenzin and Malu's Asian Cafe didn't last very long. I can't imagine why. But, oh, it was a shining star while it lasted. And I'd love to sit here and tell you all about some of the other really crazy restaurants here in town, but I cannot do that because I'm running out of time. The clock is ticking closer and closer to 2000 hours UTC. And that means it's time to call the meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee to a close. Wrap my gavel and we're out of here. Okay, what day is it? Well, it's Wednesday, so no barnacle today, which means I'm just out of here. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same channel, 1930 Anon Radio. I'm gone. Bye bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of